Excuse me, this is the operator. I need to inform all parties that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's call, we have Avery Doria, Ron Andruff, Ray Fassett, Wolf Ulrich Knorden. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Eric Brunner-Williams. So I could also please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Ray.
Thank you, Gisela. This is Ray Fassett. So a couple of housekeeping items to start. First, any updates on disclosures of interest that anybody would like to state? Okay. If not, I would like to pick up on a subject matter we discussed in the last call, which pertained to Avery's status as the vice chair of the group. I requested that Avery inform us today of her desire to continue in that role. So off the bat, Avery, have you given that further thought, and do you have you
sure.
Arrived at a position?
Sure, this is Avery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, obviously
Before you start, I'm going to interject.
Okay.
I made the request that Avery seek to work within the role of vice chair while still being allowed and perfectly understood by all to champion a position if she so chooses. I believe, as the chair, that those two things can coexist, even if the individual on their own volition wants to recuse themselves of the role of vice chair because they feel it is in their own best interest and belief to do so. Okay. With that said, please, Avery.
Okay. I think I made it really quite clear. I probably made a total pain of myself in making it clear that on several issues regarding the SOI and DOI, and in fact our role in even discussing it, that I have a view that is being championed by me, to put it in the mildest form. And if you all are comfortable with that, including comfortable with the possibility that after all is said and done, I may be, you know, acting to insert a personal contrary opinion, a minority opinion, in any report we put out. And if all things considered, you guys still want me to play that role, I'm willing.
Okay, let's have a brief discussion. Wolf or Ron, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, Wolf speaking. Thank you. Well, Avi, I'm fully open to that and agree to that. What you have just mentioned, Val, I would accept that way you are arguing and how you are going to proceed in our discussion and with your role as vice chair. Thank you.
Okay. Ron, anything?
This is Ron. No, I have no problem with that. Thank you.
Okay. So I would like to formally follow up on last week's call that as the chair of this work team, Avery has, and Avery, you can correct me if I'm wrong, she has withdrawn her resignation as vice chair, and or it has not been accepted by the chair on behalf of the interests of the work team. Okay. Anything not accurate there, Aubrey?
Nope. I think the withdrawal and or been rejected is a fine way of putting it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So let's move forward. I have an agenda item today based on the sentiments of the last call. You know, there's a procedural matter at play as well as a substantive matter at play. The procedural matter has to do with whether or not this work team is rightfully the venue, if you will, to be discussing adopted resolutions by the GNSO Council that came originally from this work team, then to the OSC, then to final adoption by the GNSO Council. So procedurally, if there are matters of modification to those things that have been adopted, is this work team the venue for that? That's procedural matter. The substantive matter is that an issue has been brought back to us with regards to the idea of the current adopted language stating that declarations of interest are to be a written statement or document. That has been brought back to us. We had discussion on this last week, and we landed on with not 100% consensus that we are okay, or it is worthwhile, let's use that word, worthwhile for this work team to at least entertain looking at the language and put forth, if we get there, a modified recommendation of the language to the OSC, where it would then could be debated again at the OSC level whether or not it should even be accepted procedurally. So that's where we are. I would like to know if anyone disagrees with that in relation to where we landed on our last call.
This is Aubrey. Can I comment?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Don't know if I'm disagreeing with it being where we landed. I'm not quite sure how to parse that. I did send an email, and I know that you don't want to get bogged down in this procedural issue, and perhaps this will be a good time for Wolf and or Julie to talk about the GNSL council meeting, but it is, I have basically two points to make on this. One, it's like this is no longer just an OSC issue, because the PPSC's work team has accepted the notions that were proposed by this group on SODI and SOIDOI and have inserted them into their work. So as we start to change things unilaterally and say it goes up through the OSC, because what we're only talking about for the council, and whereas the working group working team accepted this for working groups, we take a problem of either unilaterally making a decision for a group within a different steering committee, or B, sort of ending up with two different rules on SOIDOI, one for council members in council and one for working team members in working teams. So there's that complexity that I think has to be taken account in procedure. And second, I think if I understood, I was listening to the council meeting as it was going on, and if I understood correctly, and I'm sure that Wolf and or Julie can and will correct me, that this is still an open issue in the GNSO Council, something that they're going to discuss at their next meeting and hopefully resolve in terms of should it be the previous steering group that makes changes post-approval? Should it just be the council itself that says, hey, this is silly, we change it? Or should it be this yet-to-be-fully-formed standing committee that does it? So given that that's still an open issue at the council level, I'm not sure, in fact, I'm fairly sure, I don't believe it's appropriate for us to deal with it yet. Thanks.
Ray?
Yes, Wolf.
Wolf speaking. Thank you. So I would like to add something to what Ari was saying. And my understanding is also was a little bit different. So I think after you just brought up two things. The one is the question with regards to the implementation of the recommendations for the improvement, and with regard to that question whether a different steering committee should be established or whether the existing steering committees should take those points, those items for the future, and also control the implementation. That's one point. And the other one, that's a different one. That was the question with regards to the DOI SOI handling in the future. With regards to the second point, the SOI and DOI, the council, in that way. Some people of the council seem to be still very confused about how to act, how to how to act with regard to SOI and DOI. That is reflected in advance to the council meetings at the time being that, for example, Chuck and others are going to submit written DOI. So Chuck is when he's going to establish the agenda of the council meeting, he points out every time in advance which are the main items to be discussed that everybody could think about. Okay, is his DOI touched in any sense in this regard with regard to that items? And some people are sending written DOIs, others do not. So, and it's confusing whether this should be done or whether it should only be asked in advance, whether there is some amendment to the existing DOIs to be done. So that's one point. And that resulted at the end in a request from some people on council level, which asked, because it's still confusing, and this team, so it's they mean the GCOT, its team may be not able to cover those points and to come up with a satisfactory solution with regard to that. So let's take these points, the DOI and SOI, and discuss it in a newly to be established committee or kind of working team. And I argued in that sense. I said, okay, no, that's not possible. We shouldn't do that. If somebody is of the opinion that something should be changed with regard to that, then please join our GCOT team here. So and that's the right way how to do that in future. So at the end, it's still open. At the time being, it's open for further discussion. There is no decision taken about that. And so far from my point of view, Julie, if I missed something, please complete that. Thank you.
Actually, Wolf, this is Julie. You were very precise, and thank you very much for that.
Okay, so being the impartial chair that I am, this is Ray. I am stating that there's, to me, no harm in this work team working in parallel with other things that are yet still open. So I don't see any harm in this work team taking up the discussion. Exploring, if you will, a remedy, recommending what this remedy could potentially be, and leaving it up to others to either accept or reject on any basis, whether they're substantively or the legitimacy of it, procedurally speaking. So unless there's objection to that, let's just move right into...
There is
objection to that. Yeah, that's Avery, I take it.
Yeah. There's two points.
Yeah.
One, you're right. I mean, in some sense, we can talk about anything in any group and, take it or leave it at the end of the day. What harm other than perhaps wasting everybody's time a little?
Mm-hmm.
The other issue that I bring up that no one responded to was the fact that once the work we did was sent up and approved, it was adopted by a working team in the PPSC. And so I'm looking for clarification of, by what right do we now change something that has been adopted, granted it was this group's work in the first place, has been adopted by a working team in the other steering committee, and the danger there of A, either unilaterally presupposing something on another group, or B, ending up in a situation of perpetual confusion where if it's the council, it means one thing, and if it's a working group, it means something else. So I think there's more to it than just waiting for the council to make up its mind in 2 weeks about what the right thing to do is.
Well, I know, but let me just ask for clarification on this PPSC issue. Are you stating that that group adopted the same language that was eventually approved. Okay, so is it fair to say that that group was working from a wrong assumption because what ended up being the adopted language was not what the Magrupa... So if they were starting from the wrong place and all we're doing is looking to inform them of that fact on the one hand...
As you know, I don't accept that premise at all. I think we have shown, I think we have seen that what Ken reported, what Ken wrote is what we were saying. We reviewed it. We acknowledged it. It went on. I think we may want to discuss changing it, but for us as a working group to say that someone on staff got our intention wrong is, I think, wrong. I think our intention was properly recorded. And
okay, stop
no
there.
Against
yeah,
us.
No, that's an important point. So stop there, and now I'm just going to look at the two others on the call to see if they agree with that. That staff got it right, or did staff get it wrong? I'm not trying to blame staff. What I'm trying to do is understand from the other work team members if they feel that it is not what was the original intention of the group. And Ron and Wolf, I'm going to need you to weigh in on that. I know you have already, but I'm asking again. Please.
This is Ron.
You can make it brief, because I know you have already.
I have a quick question, though, in advance of that. Is the PPSC, does it fall under the OSC, or is it a separate body?
It's parallel
body, right? That's where the rub is, if I understand it from Aubrey.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so... I just needed that point of clarification. I'll come back to that in a second. But in answer to your question, Ray, this is not about finger pointing. What it is we've got a lot of busy people doing a lot of busy stuff. We're volunteering for ICANN. We have calls every 2 weeks. I honestly do not keep my mind focused over that 2 week period on this work team. What happens is I think about the elements that need to be addressed. If there's work that I need to do, I'll get that done during the 2 weeks. But more or less what happens is I do a quick review about an hour or so before this call happens to refresh myself as to where we are on everything and what I need to be, so I'm ready for the call. This is one of those things that fell through the cracks where people checked that box. For my part, I checked that box. As soon as we got the DOI language, we got the SOI language, I checked the box. Now, when there was some back and forth and cleanup on language, I didn't go back and reread all the documentation as clearly as I should, and I take full responsibility for that. But the net result of what we're trying to do is not make people within the GNSO working groups jump through hoops. What we're trying to do is streamline an activity so that we get a... more transparency in the organization overall. So while I agree with that, Avery's arguments about procedure and do we have a right and this and that, all of that is all fair. But the reality is a mistake was made. Some of us, one of us don't agree that a mistake was made. Others of us do agree that a mistake was made. But when we took a vote the last time, everyone overwhelmingly agreed DOI should be a verbal thing. I think we should just take this back to the OSC and have the OSC instruct the PPSC as to that there was an error coming out of one of the work groups, and looks like it seems to be compounding as it gets further out. So the OSC chair can bring this to the PPSC chair and get that corrected. But we need a correction here, and we cannot start... When Wolf just made the comment that there was some discussion about get another committee to go back and look at this, that's insanity. We've already been on these calls for weeks and weeks and months, and this is long past its due date. We should have been wrapping up this group a long time ago. So I think we need to cross the last T's and dot the last I's, get the corrected things, the revised, amended, or corrected, whatever each element was that we were working on now, get those to the OSC, and then let the OSC have its final review and disband this group. But get this area clarified.
Very good. Okay, so we're 23 minutes into the call right now. Now, Julie sent, after our last meeting, what we asked her to do, which was go back and see, discover, if you will, where these discussions took place and try to find, an intent, if you will. And intent can be subjective. However, I did review those, and as the chair, it is unquestionably objective to me that the statement of interest was meant to be written. There is just no gray area about it. Whereas in the DOI discussion, it is not objective at all. It is not clear-cut at all, whether it was the intention of the work team to have it be written or not. So if I use that as the barometer, the comparison, if you will, the starting point, a way to go about this, I think that is a reasonable way to look at it. If anyone can disagree that it is absolutely black and white, that the statement of interest was intended to be written, whereas it is not the same for the DOI, please speak up.
Because, okay, this is Aubrey again.
Yeah.
I'll agree that in terms of the conversation, it was not made explicit that it was not written. It was associated with the SOI and DOI that they were essentially the same sort of thing, but had different intents, different purposes, with no differentiation made between them to say, but this one is not written. So, first of all, it's quite clear that they were associated with each other and that one of them was quite clearly stated as written, whereas the other one had no statement attached to it. Adding to that, the fact that after the discussion, text was floated to us that explicitly discussed the DOI as written.
Mm-hmm.
I read that text. I understood that text to say DOI is written. I understood that to be in accordance with everything else we had said, and no one else raised a hand to say, wait a second, DOIs are not written. And we all reviewed the text. We all discussed it over and over again and wordsmith and, mm-hmm. and everything. So to say, oh, I didn't really read it, I don't think that stands true for the
case. Aubrey, let me just we're talking about what we're acknowledging is there's an error. What that error is,
I'm not acknowledging that there's an error. If we say that we want to change it, we can change it. But I do not believe it's an error.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Aubrey, with respect, Ron, I'm telling you again, it was an error on my part. There's zero doubt about that.
Ron, I think it's an error of the work team. Now, whether Aubrey wants to agree it was an error or not, I'm just saying that seems to be the position here. There's an error here. It doesn't matter who, why, or how. The fact is it exists. And that's, you know, the basis of why we're going down this path. I thought, Ron, your remedy of the OSC chair being able to talk to the PPSC chair is certainly reasonable in terms of in that concern. And Wolf, one last comment on this, then let's just move to it.
Just a quick comment, really. Mm-hmm. So I would like really to urge all of us really well to look at this. It should be manageable and really handleable for all the work team members and council members as well. And I got the impression from the last council meeting that people, you know, they would like to have, and this is necessary, to have something which is easily handleable, yeah? And in that case, really, if I might have, I really don't know what I have said in advance to that, if I might have voted for a written document, it is now, I would see it as a mistake, really. So I also, I'm in favor of not for a written document in this respect.
Okay, let's move forward. I sent out an email a little while ago, just before this meeting, that from what I can see in the current adopted rules of procedure, the language that needs to be looked at is simply, and I could be wrong, Julie, you can correct me. I don't think Ken's on the call, but it's just the definition of disclosure of interest. It is just that language that is really causing all of the...
Right. This is Julie Ray, and so... The version that came out of that call that I referenced in the summary that I made of the various calls had included the term written in both the statement of interest and disclosure of interest definitions, and that is the only place it appears.
All right, so that's what's causing all of this, if I understand it to be, is the definition of disclosure of interest where the word written is contained in the second sentence. Is that, does everybody have this definition in front of them?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to read it for the record. Disclosure of interest, relevant to a specific issue at a specific time. A written statement made by a relevant party of direct and indirect interest that may be commercial, example, monetary payment, or non-commercial, example, non-tangible benefits such as publicity, political, or academic visibility, and may affect or be perceived to affect the relevant party's judgment on a specific issue. In that definition, I am looking to the group here to offer a remedy of how to correct the confusion that this needs to be a rewritten statement. Anybody have any ideas?
This is offering a little bit of historical revisionism always work and say we didn't mean written to mean written. We meant written to meant not written.
Right.
You could literally scratch the word written, statement made by relevant parties.
I had an idea that I'll float out. I was going to say something to the effect, a voluntary statement, whether written or oral, made by a relevant party. A voluntary statement, comma, whether written or oral, comma.
Wait.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Wait. Also.
Okay, Wolf, what's for me?
Wolf first.
Mate, just for clarification, that sounds to me that the statement should be voluntary, not the question whether it's written or not written. So that's the difference. Do you see? Who would like to formulate that in that way? That the statement should be voluntary on a voluntary basis made.
Before I answer that, is your question, Wolf, are we trying to bring clarity? Is your question that we're trying to bring clarity that disclosure of interest is to be voluntary?
No, it's more the way you read that statement, Ray. It's Ron. The way you read that statement, it sounds like the disclosure is voluntary rather than whether it's written or it's verbal.
Yeah, that was my
question
as well,
that
you were making it an optional thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my intention
is to do that. I think it has to be.
No, it's not. The DOI is not optional. DOI is made before every meeting. That's an absolute.
Oh, no. The procedure of asking for a disclosure of interest is a requirement.
That's my point. But the way you've written it, it sounds like I can choose whether to, as a participant, I can choose to give you something or not give you something. That's my point. I can give you a DOI or not give you a DOI. It's my choice, the way it's written now. All three of us heard it that way. So where I was going to, I think we just come back and take away the word written. It's just that simple. I think let's not gild the lily. Disclosure of interest, relevant to a specific issue at a specific time. A statement made by a relevant party.
Yeah.
Boom, done.
Yeah.
And because we asked that statement, and I'm not sure if we asked when that statement should be made, but I think we've recommended that it be made at the start of the meeting, somewhere in the text. So we just stick with that.
I think that was very well said. Anybody else have any comments?
I have one.
Okay.
I agree that your reading was making it optional, and okay, now I see that you're not going to make it optional. I think the other thing that comes up in the how that is made, and that's another question that has come up, this one I think is gray all over, on whether people were individually asked, do you have a DOI update, do you have a DOI, or people were group asked. What has seems to have become the practice is, by the way, does anybody have a DOI update to make? No one? Okay, fine, let's move on. I don't think that we're clear on that either. And in fact, I know that there's been confusion, and perhaps somebody can point me to where we're clear on that. So, in fact, you said when you were reading it, and that at some point in time, you know, a question is asked. So, while we're doing clarification of alleged mistakes, do we also want to deal with that issue?
Is your question a procedural question of the timing of when?
It's basically not so much procedural of timing, but procedural as to how it is done, because that was also considered ambiguous.
And Ray, if you'd like, I can give you the language that Aubrey is referring to that sort of clarifies what the sort of problem is, I think, that arises from it.
Yeah, do you want to read it, Julie?
Or I'll go ahead and read it.
Is it long?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Under Section 5.4, Disclosure of Interest Procedures, 542, Duty to Remind Participants and Speakers, sentence within that paragraph states, participants should be polled individually by the chair to ensure that all updates to respective disclosures of interest have been received, and those responses shall be recorded in all minutes.
I guess that was my point there. So there's two points in there. One, you'll have to change the word received, because received implies written, as opposed to DOIs that have previously been made, which doesn't include the consultation, doesn't include the assumption of it being written. And we have to clarify the question of polled individually, it actually explicitly says polled individually, and everyone is going, ooh, that takes too much time, ooh, that's too hard, let's just do it as a group question, which, again, if we want to change things, and if we presume the right to change things, that has to be part of this package, I think, in terms of if what we're trying to do is fix mistakes that people have identified as making their participation in the meetings and in the process too onerous.
I agree that has to be changed.
Okay, so before we go to 5.42, which I now have in front of me and see the issue at hand, thank you for raising that. Are we in agreement that as far as the definition is concerned, our recommendation is to simply delete the word written from the definition of disclosure of interest?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be abstaining on the basis that I don't believe we have the right to make that decision.
Oh, not only that,
right.
You are also free to provide a dissenting opinion on that.
Yeah, I'm just, since you asked.
Yeah, I'm
I'll
not. This isn't a vote.
To make my point clear, I won't vote against it because I think it's a great idea. I just think procedurally we're going all over the place, and I'll abstain. Because
for the record, we're not voting. We're simply discussing and trying to reach a consensus view while at the same time allowing a substantive, minority view or dissenting opinion, which I think is healthy, by the way, for those that will be reviewing, from all angles the issues at hand here. So I think it's very healthy, Aubrey. So on the 5.42, is there any suggestions on how to modify the language to resolve to offer as a remedy?
By the way, this is Aubrey again. On this one, again, I'll be abstaining, but I am so grateful to see it change because I argued against having to poll at every meeting, but everyone else was in favor of it, and I eventually stood down. To see you guys decide to change it, even if I think procedurally it's a horrible thing to be doing, it's a great idea.
Well, that's new information to me. So are you saying that
I was always against the individual polling.
But
I
insisted
on doing it once the rule was written.
Well, sure. Yes. Sure, that makes sense. But I'm trying to understand. You're saying that others that are involved in these meetings are saying that they are in favor of individual polling?
Oh, I have... No. It was you. It was my perception of what the rest of this committee wanted was the individual polling. And, in fact, I remember us having discussions on that where I was in a minority saying that'll be too onerous.
Probably true, given your experience. I'm just trying to understand in the practical sense.
As a practical standpoint, I think it's universally people have said asking a group question at the end is sufficient. I have not heard anyone. I was insisting on doing it.
Yes.
Until everybody booed
okay.
me to where I was doing it. But
I understand. Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. And by the way, Avery, if you wouldn't have put it in play in practice, obviously there's been benefit to your doing that, so it's not gone unnoticed. All right, so any discussion on this in terms of the language of how to remedy? Any ideas?
Well, I think I'm just looking through that paragraph now. If you look at the B section of that 5.4.2, it says at the beginning of any ICANN meeting forum, a discussion being coordinated and moderated, blah, blah, blah. The chair shall encourage all speakers to provide disclosure of interest prior to beginning their remarks.
Yes.
So that's a public meeting, right? That's an ICANN public meeting. So if we bring it back, we can say that participants should be polled individually by the chair. We could say that the chair will open the meeting by asking, I'm just talking just general terms, open the meeting by asking if anyone has a DOI, disclosure of interest, and the response to that request shall be recorded in all minutes. The response from the working group members or working team members will be recorded in all minutes. I'm just trying to be consistent with the way it's being approached in B, make A consistent with B, and we just want to say that they remove this idea of polled individually. So does that make sense to you all?
It does to me. I'm kind of just thinking to myself, can you collapse A and B together? Do we have to? I remember us discussing we wanted to distinguish between an ICANN public meeting and not a public meeting because I think there was, if I recall correctly, the sort of nagging issue that people aren't disclosing at public meetings. So we wanted to be crystal clear. But I'm just asking, can A and B be collapsed into one?
Ron Anthony.
Yes.
Hi, Toby. Hi, thanks.
Any thoughts to collapsing A and B together?
Could be. Why not? Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably in the first sentence of A
$1,000 value.
Where we simply say something to the effect to that includes ICANN public meetings, somewhere in that first sentence. And getting in there, the timing at the beginning.
Very good. Okay. Excellent, Toby. That's great. Thank you.
And I'm talking out loud here, too. So I'm taking the first part of B and throwing it into the first part of A and saying at the beginning of any ICANN meeting, including public meeting, the GNSO Council Chair or Vice Chair's Working Group Chair. All right. Julie, are you kind of understanding my logic here?
Yeah, this is Julie Ray. I'm trying to parse it out. We could say at the beginning of any ICANN meeting, including public meeting, forum, or discussion, being coordinated or moderated by the GSO, the person acting as chair or coordinator of the public meeting, forum, or discussion shall encourage all speakers.
To request.
And, well, sure. Yes, should we, yeah, because we've got to get relevant, we've got to get the word, the phrase relevant parties in there because there's a good chunk of these procedures relate only to relevant parties as opposed to, speakers in a public meeting.
I would suggest, Ray, if I may, that we keep them broken apart, but we might use the same kind of language that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I understand where you're going, but I think that there's two different things. One is a working group and it's a closed meeting and it's a smaller group.
Mm-hmm.
The other is it's a public forum environment, and so it's an encouragement in that case. Mm-hmm. Encourage. You can't really force someone to go to the microphone to say, okay, I'm going to give you my DOI right now.
Mm-hmm.
as much as a working group. We meet regularly. We're, you know, focused on a specific topic or a series of topics. So let's try to keep those two separate. But I think, you know, where Julie is going with the language in terms of rationalizing the language, we might be able to use the same kind of terms. But we do need this idea of relevant parties, and that's really the first part of that Section A.
All right, so in a nutshell, what we're asking is that in A, we get in there at the beginning, and in A, we remove the requirement of individual polling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
And then with that, I will look to Julie and say, okay, can you take that advice and craft mm-hmm. A to capture those two things?
Yeah, and I'm wondering, this is Julie, I'm wondering, because I'm just looking through A, and I'm wondering if we, what we're saying is that, you know, GNSO Council Chair, blah, 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 shall remind all participants to provide disclosures of interest and updates, disclosures of interest at the beginning of each meeting during which the relevant parties act, blah, blah, blah. At that time, what if we just took out the next sentence and then continued, at that time, anyone who has a question about the interpretation or meaning of a relevant party's disclosure of interest? Because what we're saying already is that the chair is going to remind all participants to provide disclosures of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And then anybody has a chance to ask any questions about them. The only thing that we don't have in there, oh, no, it does, because then we said to which the disclosure pertains and such disclosure shall be recorded in the minutes of that meeting. So we sort of already say, remind them to do it, they do it, it's recorded, and then, you know, anybody can ask questions about them.
This is Aubrey?
Yep.
Sorry. One point, other change on there, since you have the received, you could probably change the received word to the previously recorded.
Received.
In other words, because in the first phrase that it talks about any changes to the DOIs, received. So received has a connotation.
But I don't see...
looking at the text at the moment, so I'm doing it from...
Yeah, there isn't... The word received actually only appears in the second sentence. The first sentence just says, remind all participants to provide disclosures of interest and updates at the beginning of each meeting, blah, 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 blah. The second sentence said, participants should be polled individually and that all updates and respective disclosures of interest have been received. If we delete the...
Oh, you delete the whole sentence, yeah.
Yes.
Then we won't have the word received in there.
Got it. Thanks.
That remedy happens to work for me. Is there anybody else have any thoughts?
Works for me.
Wolf?
Yeah, it's okay for me.
Okay, now, for sake of consistency, I have to state that I don't believe this sentence was an error. I believe this was our intent, folks. We intended, when we did this, for participants to be polled individually.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I agree with that. We had said, you know, there was a lot of talk about how do we keep people honest? What are the rules here that would make someone be honest? And that was the whole point, to put people on the spot. So I don't disagree that that's where we're at. But
I think
looking at it in hindsight, it just doesn't make sense. So that's where I'm coming from.
Can I make a recommendation then, perhaps?
Yes, Aubrey.
Can we, since we are opting, and whatever the procedural judgment may be of that, since this group is opting to change something where there is unquestionably not an error, can we just sort of bite a bullet and sort of say, because of the issues that have arisen with the implementation of these things as written, this committee has decided to recommend that they be changed without any mention of mistakes, intentions, one way or t'other. And doing that, while I'll still work through my NCSG folks to sort of say it's not this group's job to do it, I'll still argue that in the OSC that it's not this group's to do it, I won't feel the need to make a specific statement in this.
I have no problem with that.
Wolf?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
That might be an elegant solution out of this problem.
Mm.
I don't have a problem with it. This is Ray. All right, so I think that's a good idea. We'll see how that goes. So I'm not against it. So we've got our modification as a result of this meeting. A work product that we have from this meeting is the modification to the definition of disclosure of interest and the modification to 5.4.2. I would ask that Julie prepare the red line, if you will, of those two things. Send it around to the list, and if a few days go by, say Monday at the latest, I will send it to the OSC chair as our recommendation.
Right.
And Avery, you'll need to get your statement in there.
Well, as I say, as long as we couch it properly, and we're not claiming that we're correcting mistakes, but we're claiming that we're fixing things that the public finds onerous, I don't need a statement. I'll make one in OSC about the appropriateness of this group having done it, but I don't need to attach it to this group.
I see. I understand that better now. Okay, good. Yes, Julie.
And I know I missed this call, but I tried to follow up by reviewing the notes and so on. But the call where the content section was discussed, it was several calls back. Sam Eisner was on that call from legal. At section 533, content, it is the section that has not been approved by the GNSO Council, and it's the section relating to a list of entities with which ICANN has a transaction, contract, or other arrangement. What is the disposition of that section?
I think what I'm trying to do here, I'll answer that, is I'm trying to slice and dice here. I want to fast track, if you will, where it seems that there is a sentiment from the group that it can be fast tracked. These sections 5.4.2 and the definition, so that those that are actually trying to follow the procedures are not bogged down. And we're addressing concerns timely as they've been raised. So now your question is talking about something else. It's talking about language that has not yet been adopted by the GNSO, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so that now is a different track that we would be heading down. It is still an open point, in my view, how we are dealing with the issue of whether staff and contractors are to be complying with the statement of interest and declarations of interest. But I don't think that impacts our ability to fast-track these two particular remedies. Do others agree, or is there something not correct in that logic?
No, I don't disagree, Ray. I was just looking for clarification.
All right, the clarification is it's an open point. We are doubling back to 5.3.3. It is on our list of things to do. We can probably do a little bit of that today.
No, I do actually, and if we do, since we're getting close to the hour, I do have some suggested language for discussion by the work team from Sam that was sent, I think, after one of the previous meetings, but that changes the language in the content section, and I can send that around for folks to look at if you would like.
Well, before you do that, is there anything in your interpretation, because you have the language, that impacts in any way what we have agreed upon in terms of this modified language to the definition and to section 5.4.2 that we just decided upon? Is there anything in that that affects that?
Ray, this is Julie. For my part, nothing that I can see.
Okay, all right, then that's fine. What I'm trying to do is I want to check off these things as we go. And so once we get the red line version of the definition in a 5.4.2, and assuming no further objections or discussion by the work team, it is ready to go as a work product of this work team to the OSC for as our recommendation for their consideration. And we all in agreement on that? If so, then let's move to 5.3.3.
Yes, we're in agreement.
Yeah. Okay, great. So let's go to 5.3.3. I think high level, again, without getting into the nitty-gritty of the existing words and start wordsmithing, at a high level, the issue, as I understand it to be, is the question of should ICANN staff and contractors be required to follow the rules of procedure as it pertains to SOIs and DOIs in their participation in ICANN council meetings, work groups, et cetera, et cetera. That's the issue.
And Ray, this is Julie. If I might, at this point, say that the legal staff are preparing a response to that question. They've been studying it, and they have something that they'll be sending, I think, soon. They just didn't have it ready for us today to look at.
All right. So rather than spin our wheels, should we continue to discuss the theory of this? Should we take 5 minutes to do so, or should we just wait until we get the staff input and have the whole picture in front of us and then go from there?
And I should say, Ray, this is Julie, that the staff input will pertain to, you know, whether staff should provide SOIs. But there is the other issue of whether of the sort of the having a list of contractors, a separate issue. And I know that one that Christina Rosette had raised was even if there is a list of contractors, if it's, you know, if it's voluminous, she, you know, for instance, wouldn't be able to say with certainty that, you know, whether or not she had any ownership or investment interest. And Sam had suggested some alternate language to these questions in 5.3.3.4, et cetera, that would sort of reduce the requirement of the respondents to have to sort of exhaustively determine whether or not, you know, they have a possible interest in any possible entity with which, you know, ICANN does business. So I sort of see that the response you'll be getting from legal relates to the staff SOI as opposed to the issue of the list of contractors.
Ray?
Yes.
I would think if you spent the last, I guess, 4 minutes at this point speaking slightly on your proposal and perhaps in the process answering the question I asked on your proposal about how it would treat consultants, I think that would be a great way to close up today.
Can you repeat your question?
My question was you put out a proposal that was trying to sort of find a middle line between staff having to do SOI and perhaps staff doing DOIs when they had some outside interests that might pertain. And I thought that was an interesting possibility. And the question I asked you, how would that proposal deal with the consultant who happens to have ICANN and someone else who may or may not be pertinent as a customer?
Oh, I see an email.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's cool.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. all right. let's try that real quick. How about if we look to first talk about ICANN employees for a minute? Let me ask the group their opinion. If ICANN staff at our request informs us that all ICANN employees are duly obligated to represent the interests of ICANN, the organization, at all times, including their involvement in policy, venue, and work groups, is that reason enough for us to say why individuals that are employed by ICANN are not required to file a written SOI? That is my question. Staying away from contractors for a minute.
my view is that it's worth thinking about. I'm not sure yet.
Yes, good answer. Ron or Wolf, any quick last-minute thoughts on that question?
Well, this is Ron. For my part, it was more, you know, after we talked this through in the last call, it seemed to me the bigger issue was contractors. Full-time staff have got an obligation to the company, and there's no doubt about that. Contractors, guns for hire, so they could be, you know, involved in all manner of things. So that's where I think a contractor should certainly be doing an SOI, DOI, but I think the staff should be exempt based on what you just said.
All right, we have to have a language from staff that states that. I mean, we're not just going to... What I'm trying to say is we have to have language from staff that states that that full-time ICANN employees are obligated to the organization. Now, the last I remember we had language, it said that they're bound to the duties of the organization and to Internet users. I was having a little difficulty with that because it got too ambiguous. So I think we need, you know, the real crispness in order for us to say, okay, here's why we don't think staff members need to have a written DOI on file. But that's my opinion. Others might say, yeah, that's fine. As long as they're saying that they're representing the organization and Internet users, that's enough for us. It doesn't really matter to me, to be honest. Any thoughts on that?
This is Aubrey, though we've hit the 2 o'clock and we're starting to get to it. I think that some sort of policy statement relating to employees and their participation in groups would be needed from staff, and therefore it then becoming something that is redressable in, for example, some of the cases that, you know, like Eric talked about, without passing any judgment on whether that one was an appropriate case or not to take action, that if inside a working group there is an impression that a staff member is not meeting the prescribed deportment for a staff member as, you know, declared by the staff in proclamation number, you know, 57-3, then, you know, there is this redress to be taken. So I don't think that we need to get one per working group or we need to get one per council. If staff and legal wants to say, you know, staff members never voice their own opinions, and if they do, they have done something wrong, all staff can ever do is voice the opinions of ICANN, or whatever it is they want to say, then they should say it. It should be a public, proclamation.
Right.
It should be something that's enforceable.
Right. That was very well said. That's exactly what I was thinking. So, okay, so we just need something from staff there, and then I think we'll all be comfortable. You know, we'll review what the staff provides us, but assuming it is sort of like what Aubrey just described, I think we'd all be comfortable then saying why staff members are not required to have a written SOI on file. Are we all agreed with that? So there's another open item, action item for you, Aubrey, right? I mean, Julie, right?
Yes, this is Julie. It's my action item, and in fact, I'll convey also to Sam that we discussed this, and we are looking for that language.
Okay.
We'll also
so that
down as an action.
Okay. So now to contractors.
Well, you also have your DOI piece.
Well, the DOI piece, right? I
thought that was fine for SOI. The DOI piece might be worth considering also. I thought that was clever, you know, that if somebody happens to also be a volunteer in some other organization and is working on these same issues, that's worth knowing. It's not a bad thing, but it's worth knowing.
Yeah, and hopefully in time and practice, staff members who are, like in your example, say participating in an ITF venue will realize that they're gaining respect and stature in their work by, you know, consistently disclosing those kinds of things. That's the idea, isn't it? Which is different than a requirement, I suppose, right? I don't know how you police or manage or it on a requirement level. Others can bring it to others' attention, like, you know, hey, John Smith, aren't you also part of the IETF working group? So a few times going through that exercise, I think the individual decides, well, I'm just going to disclose it. Isn't that the spirit of what the DOI is supposed to be about?
Well, yes, I think that's the spirit, but the principle is that something has occurred more in the short term. Something just happened, and that's why I'm declaring my interest in that. Because if it's a longer term interest, I should have that noted in my SOI. So if I'm working for a company that has a relationship with ICANN in some form, registry, registrar, whatever, and I note that in my SOI. But then I take on a position at IETF where I'm responsible for some specific policy issue. Then that's a short-term thing. Now, if I move over to the IETF and become a staff member of theirs, then that goes on to my would go on to my SOI.
Mm-hmm.
Does that clarify that? So it's something that's happened in the short term, that's not part of my long history. But if it's going to become part of my longer history, then I need to correct my SOI, which is the written document. But these declarations of interest are just to clarify that at this moment this is happening, and I want everyone to be aware.
But other than watchdogging, how do you require the declaration to be made? You offer the ability for the person to make the declaration.
Yeah, and if they do not, and as you said, hey, John Smith, don't you also do this? That's when we have those remedies in place to take it then to the chair and say, hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
this guy, I'm very clear that he has a conflict and I'm telling you about it, and then
mm-hmm.
the remedies kick in.
I don't think there's really any other way to do that. I don't think you can. Well, so on the one hand, we're saying, okay, staff, you're absolved of having to complete a written statement of interest, and on the other, you are on the honor system that you will declare things is that you feel are should be declared as these issues come up.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying. Aubrey, I'm not sure you're comfortable with that.
I'm comfortable as long as it is reasonable for them to be invited to make the DOI. If there's no expectation that they comment on these things, then there's no way to prevail on them. You know, because if you say, hey, you know, I know that you've been arguing, you know, that you've been participating in the IGF and that you've taken various policy positions with regard to detail these in the IGF, and yes, I acknowledge that the IGF is a voluntary activity, but still you haven't mentioned that here. And they said, I have no obligation to mention that to you.
Well,
I'm
maybe
an IGN employee, and that's all that matters.
Well, no, let's go back to 5.4.2, very first sentence.
Well, that's all participants.
Yeah, remind all participants, comma, including any ICANN staff member person.
Okay, as long as it says.
How's that?
Yeah, that works
well,
for me.
Yeah, and that simpler language would be all participants and staff, not including.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a special inclusion item, but all participants, including staff.
Yep.
Yeah,
just
that kind of
staff,
language works for me. I don't
right.
know that it'll work for staff, however, but it does work for me.
I think that what we're saying to staff is you had a problem with the rules of procedure requiring you to submit SOIs. We heard your problem. We acknowledge it. We accept it even. Now, when it comes to DOIs, this is what we feel needs to get you there. I think that's truthful and straightforward.
Agreed.
Okay. So, Julie, there's a new modification to 5.4.2 beyond just deleting the one sentence.
Okay. However,
I know what the however is.
Maybe that may be affected by the discussion of the language that legal will be sending.
Okay.
And
all right.
This allows them to respond to that.
Okay.
But if we're sending it to the
We're not. Let me back up.
For approval,
yeah. Let me back up. I'm only going to send now, based on this latest discussion, the modified definition at this time.
The modified definition. No harm in waiting for finishing everything to send anything.
Okay. That's
fine,
too.
Are already doing what they're doing.
Okay.
My understanding, this is Julie, that this language from legal is imminent, and so I shouldn't think that we should have to wait too long, and I'll emphasize this again in my message back to Sam, but my understanding was it was in the works, so
All right.
We'd be able to sort of kill two birds with one stone if we can wait just a little long.
Okay, and as you're going back to Sam, maybe you could just throw out there, do you see a problem if the language... remind all participants, including ICANN staff participants?
I will, actually. I'm going to to make this point very clear, both the inclusion of staff and the SOIs as well as the DOIs and the change there as well.
And please, on behalf of us, explain that this is how we're trying to get staff its request of not having to complete SOIs as the rules require. That's... You know, we're not trying to trap anybody here. We're actually trying to get to a finish line per their needs and desires as they communicate to us.
Right. I will make that clear.
Okay. All right, so contractors, real quick, it's 10 minutes after the hour, but real quick, as we speak to contractors, is part of the concern whether you are a full-time contractor or part-time contractor?
Well, a contractor is a contractor is a contractor.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
No such thing as full or part-time. I mean, yeah, you might have 40 hours, but that doesn't mean you don't have another contract with somebody else for another 20.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right, so I think we're probably there on staff employees, you know. Can someone describe to me what their concerns are real quick, and then we'll close the call on the issue of...
Yeah, I could be a contractor. I could have a 20-hour contract with ICANN and a 20-hour contract with ITU.
Okay.
And that might give me mixed signals. There's nothing to stop me from doing that. I don't assume that there's any exclusivity clause in an ICANN contractor clause, especially if it's not a full 40-hour, and there's no barrier to them having other contractors. So one could very easily contract with two sides of the same question, and be doing completely honorable stuff. I don't mean that they'd be doing dishonorable stuff, because I could be working for the ITU in their radio division, and I could be working for ICANN in their GTLD division, and no overlap between the two of them. So it's not dishonest, but the fact that I'm involved in both of these organizations, and some people, and by the way, I don't know of anyone for whom this is the case, and that these two are in conflict, and that therefore there may be some background, perceptual conflict type of issues should be put on the table. That's the most extreme kind of case I can think of. But I know if I was the type of person that ICANN was willing to hire, I could easily be in that situation.
I don't disagree.
Okay, so we're definitely delineating employees versus contractors, and as we leave this call today, we're still sort of, the pendulum is still swaying where the contractors are required to participate with the SOI.
I would think so.
The written SOI. In other words,
yes.
We haven't gotten them there. We haven't gotten it. So staff's request was, I believe staff's request was, for reasons that we have, including legal reasons that we have, we do not feel, we feel that ICANN staff, employees and contractors, cannot participate with the SOI rule. We're coming back saying, okay, we have found a way to accommodate you on staff employees, but we're not there yet for contractors. Is that where we're leaving things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's just think about it for a second, Ray. I mean, if I, the only difference between the work we're doing right now with ICANN and being a contractor is that we would get paid for this. We're doing the same work.
Mm-hmm.
So when Ken Bauer, you know, who is a contractor, supports us in his work and drafts the document, he has the pen. He has the ability to write the words. We have the ability to come back and edit those words, remove the words. But the fact of the matter is, he is very much like us. The only difference is he's getting paid. So I'm just saying that's the delineation from my side. I think Avery said the same thing, and I think that's the point we're at.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I think
I would add contractors who don't have an exclusive contract. I mean, you can have an exclusive contract.
Yeah,
they would be the same as an employee.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, good. All right. That's good clarification. So I'm really, a lot of this is for Julie's ears, because she's going to be the one going back internally to ICANN, explaining, as she does well, by the way, what it is we were saying, discussing why, the reasons. And I want to make sure that she can articulate that well internally to Sam and others that, look, I think the work team has met our request on staff people, employees, not having to fill out an SOI. Here's the remedy. They are also there and for the same reasons as it pertains to full-time exclusive contractors, but they're not there yet as it pertains to non-exclusive contractors. That pretty well sum it up?
Yep.
And I think Julie can run with that and do, you know, articulate our position as she will have to do. Is that right, Julie?
That's right, Ray. This is Julie, and that seems very clear. So, and I'm just preparing a message for Sam, so I'll have it all fresh in my mind.
Okay, so let's move to any other business unless there's objections. And, Julie, if you can just give a quick high-level summary on your meetings last week as it pertains to the future interaction of, say, OSC or even PPSC work teams as it relates to this new standing committee that's out there. And I've seen Avery inquiring about the status of this committee. And I'm wondering if you just have any this committee has to do with the implementation of the working group input and approvals by the OSC or PPSC, et cetera. There's a standby committee that's going to be working on looking at how well they're being implemented, address issues, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm looking to see if there was any discussion on that you can share, Julie.
Ray, this is Julie. Really the only discussion we had, and it wasn't really among staff, was we were very interested in the discussion that Wolf described at the GNSO Council meeting. We're looking for guidance there. You know, as staff, if the council says, you know, well, you know, we'd rather shift this work into the standing committee, then obviously that's what we'll do. And that was, you know, it's going to be an issue that's going to be revisited at the next council meeting. So I think one suggestion that Rob had made during the GNSO council call, just as a point of order, was that, you know, and this was relating, you know, to even just making a quick decision on the written DOI issue, which now this group has actually addressed, was that, you know, a standing committee can take some time to form. You know, there needs to be a charter developed, et cetera. But, you know, there seemed to be urgency among the several of the counselors to address the issue of written DOIs. And Rob had said, well, the council could, you know, make a resolution. I think Wolf alluded to this, too, you know, just saying, well, we can decide that they won't be written. But it was, you know, determined that the, you know, this group, this work team is working on this issue. And as you've done today, you've made the changes in the document, which seem to be consistent with some of the discussion that I'd heard in the council meeting. So long story.
Okay, but yeah, I think I understand. So the GNSO Council is going to be taking up the issue of this new standing working
standing committee, right? And
yeah, standing committee, whatever. Yeah,
we'll just be guided by what they
do. Yeah, good.
You know, as you know, obviously we'll support this work team and the OSC work teams and PPSC work teams as long as they're you know making improvements. And then if there's a new group, then we'll move on and support the new group.
Understood. I think that was a good explanation.
Great.
Yes, Wolf.
Right, Wolf speaking. Just to add something, that Julie was explaining here. So there, you know, from my perspective, there's a tendency on council level not to implement a new steering committee dealing with implementation, rather than to leave it up to the existing steering committees, OSC and PPSC, since it's always in their charters, you know, to deal with it.
Well, something caused this standing committee to be created.
Yes, but you know, there was a discussion about, you know, and somebody came up, I don't know whether it was Swap or so, saying, okay, but if you look to the charters of the OSC and the PPSC, there's already something in it with regards to reviewing the effectiveness of the implementation.
So are you saying the gist of that is that they may unwind the need for this standing committee? Is that the gist of what you're saying?
Yeah, but no, not unwind the need of the standing committee, but that means the existing standing committees could take these items.
Yeah.
Can I
get a slight bit of history?
And for me, let me just complete that. So for me, that means, so it's not now the SC, the OSC, and the PPSC should be triggered, to pick that up and to start with that tasks. So that's what is to be done.
Okay, I think I understand. Aubrey?
Okay, the slight bit of history is, at the beginning of these implementation issues, the idea had been actually to form an operational standing committee and a PP standing committee, protocol, whatever PP stands for, I forget the moment.
Uh-huh.
There had been incredible strong objection from the council at the time on creating a standing committee, and hence committees were specifically designed to be these steering committees that had a job, got them done, blinked out of existence, with the notion that if we needed another committee at some later time or after they were finished to review the work, we would do that. And so now all of a sudden we're sort of taking these designed for one purpose committees, designed to blink out of existence, non-standing committees, mm-hmm. to all of a sudden become standing committees is mm-hmm. actually sort of funny.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay, I think I'm understanding, though. There's a question out there of whether this new, again, not new, but the idea of the original, having this committee that is not yet really launched, could be redundant. The question is being raised as to whether there's redundancy to the existing two bodies, if you will, the OSC. In other words,
that's part of bureaucracy. OSC
yeah.
and PPSC don't want to blink out of existence, mm-hmm. want to exist forever, and so we have two forever instead of bringing it down to one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, bureaucracies exist to self-preserve.
Okay, well, you know what? After hearing that, all the more reason why I think a group of volunteers such as us, where it's been brought to our attention, there are just some things that need to be remedied sooner rather than later. It just adds to my belief that I'm glad we did.
Yeah,
so,
and for me, it's just the opposite.
Yeah, understood. So with that, I will ask if there's any other discussion. I would like to schedule a call for 2 weeks, or I'll ask the group. Do you want to do one next week?
Let's ask the question. What is the work still on the table to do? Let's just
It's really has to do with we're still going back and forth on the staff, you know, the staff roles and completing SOIs, written SOIs, contractors, and then the issue, this modified language that's coming our way from SAM with regards to the need or the ability or the need, as the language is written now, to create contractor lists. So it's those things interrelated, tied together.
And that's it?
That's it. That's it.
Then the others agree, let's get this call next week. Let's just get this box checked.
Okay, I won't be on the call next week. I'll be traveling, but have fun.
And Wolf, how about yourself for next week?
Well, tentatively, I'm also on travel. We'll be on travel. So, but it's not decided on yet. But it seems to be, yes. Next week.
Well, so. I'm gonna say, look, these issues are too touchy, and in the spirit of getting things done fast, if we don't have the full complement, that I think, by the way, is when you mash you guys up, it's like awesome. And if we don't have the full complement, I prefer not to have a meeting. I want Aubrey there, Ron there, and Wolf there. And I think that's actually going to be more expedient than if we don't.
But it would be helpful if you have something on the table, you know, before the next council meeting. The next council meeting is in 2 weeks, on the 28th of October.
Well, what other day next week could work?
Yeah.
There won't be an OSC meeting in the intermediate, so.
Is there another day that can work next week besides Wednesday?
No, I'm really, I speak at a meeting in Brussels on Monday. I travel on Tuesday, and then I'm in Armenia speaking to a Council of Europe meeting on democracy and the Internet. So I'm totally useless next week.
Ray, this is Julie. If I might suggest, we might be able to accomplish some things on the list. If you know, we've got the changes we've agreed to today, and then we'll get something from legal shortly. And
shortly, okay. I hear. By the way, I hear that word "shortly" from legal a lot.
Yeah,
especially lately.
That's the best
I
can do.
I almost went to Merriam-Webster dictionary yesterday to look up the word "shortly."
Yeah.
And starting. Well, anyway, that's a different story for a different day.
Yeah, it's also like the word "soon."
Yeah. But okay, let me go this direction. How's Friday look for anybody? Do you think we'll be getting this stuff when we say "shortly"? You know, tomorrow.
My only issue is I can't speak for them, so I
can't speak for them. Does anybody? Okay, can we tentatively set something up for Friday?
Friday the 22nd. Or
Friday the 15th.
This Friday.
Yep.
Oh, this Friday.
Yeah, this Friday.
Using the word shortly.
Real soon.
Well, and I can let Sam know that we're having a meeting this Friday to discuss this.
And
I'm free Friday afternoon.
All right, let's try Friday afternoon, same time. And the reason for the sense of urgency is I think it is important to get something in front of the council before their next meeting. And next week is impossible for us to do that. So.
And that's another good point for me to make as well in my message is that, you know, we really do need to tie this up and need to be able to get something, which means it has to go through the OSC and then to the council, is my understanding. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, let's
do it. I've got it in the book for 1 o'clock on Friday the 15th.
Correct.
Very good.
All right, thanks, everybody. With that, let's adjourn, end the recording and adjourn. Thank you, everybody, for your help today.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
Safe travels.
Bye-bye.
Bye.